want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
On your mark, get set, and let's go back into the Word of God and study His Word this week here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, and we want to invite you out to our services this Sunday. We're going to be celebrating our church's 70th anniversary, 70 years that we have been in the community. What used to be a dance hall became a sanctuary, and it has seen people give their heart to Jesus and go on to do ministry that's impacting people around the globe. There's a person that I'm connected with on Facebook, and the only thing that I really know about the personal interactions that we've had with him is that at some point in time, he gave his heart to Jesus at Merritt Assembly of God, and he is one of the leading voices of influence in his field of ministry around the globe. And so, we've kind of taken that and adopted our mission statement in that we are blessed to be a blessing. We've compacted that to just say, be a blessing, and if we're not blessed, we can't be a blessing. So one of the reasons we're able to be on the radio program is because we're blessed. And so we want to invite you out to the celebration. We have a special gift this week for all who come to be a part of our celebration. We want to extend the invitation to you because as a member of our radio congregation, We consider you a valuable part of our ministry, and so thank you for listening and telling people about us. We've run into people all over the places, doctor's offices, box stores, big, hardware stores and things like that, voting booths. I can't tell you all of the different places that we have run into listeners of the Refresh radio program, but we are very thankful and thankful for those who've gone before us, who did work that we were able to climb on their shoulders. And, hopefully by the time we're done and God either, calls us home or, that we pass on to eternity, that the church will be in better shape when we get done than it was when we got there. And, that's my goal for my kids, that they will be able to do more in the ministry than what we've been able to do. And I pray that that bar is set really high. And so with that being said, we want to invite you out. I want to invite you out. I would love the opportunity to meet you and celebrate what God has done for you. So today we want to say thank you to the Jits Concrete. The Anderson family has been a part of Merritt Assembly of God longer than I have. There's only a few people that can say that in the area here, that they have been a regular part of Merritt Assembly of God longer than the pastor has. I can think of, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Probably five that have been at the church longer than what I have been, and we're thankful for them. But if you need block or concrete work done in the midst of all of this construction that is going on, don't call the rest, call the best. Call the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. Let them put their decades of experience, their expertise, and their wonderful work ethic to benefit your job and your project, and then let them go do their thing, and you will be set up for success. You will have a great foundation for your project to be built upon. So Today we are going back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're not going to read a whole bunch of this passage today because we're still dealing with the truth of Elijah being sent to minister to this widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. So verse number 23, he, Jesus, said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have done, whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So Elijah was sent to this widow woman, but it wasn't in Israel, it wasn't in Judah, it was a lady from Sidon. And so let's go back to the passage in the Old Testament where we've been going through this. It's back to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. I'm not going to read the whole passage here, but let me start off. And it says in verse number 8, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he had came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there, gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Please bring me a little cup, a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said, Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went her way and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So I want to talk about these two miracles that take place here, because it goes on in the rest of the passage and talks about how this woman and her son, she was at the point where they were going to eat their last meal, then they were going to die, and Elijah is sent there, and God had spoken to the woman that Elijah was coming, that she was to take care of him, and so she moves from a place of hopelessness to a place of faith, and she obeys, and the child lives, she lives, Elijah lives, and then in the second part of chapter 17, the son gets sick, the son dies, he's raised back to life by Elijah, and so there are two miracles that take place in this one ambassador missions trip that Elijah takes. The first miracle was a miracle that required obedience from Elijah, and it required obedience from the woman, okay? So that's very important. Jesus is, in the Luke chapter 4 passage, he is describing a situation where his hometown people are not experiencing the same miraculous actions that took place because of how familiar they were with it, and they were unwilling to obey, if you will. Now, I want you to know, obedience is absolutely essential if we're going to walk in the blessing and the favor of God. This first miracle requires obedience on the part of many people. If Elijah had obeyed, but the woman disobeyed, we don't read about her in 1 Kings chapter 17. If the woman was ready to obey, but Elijah didn't obey, Elijah didn't go, then we don't read about Elijah. We don't read, you know, anything past that initial encounter with Ahab, and we don't hear about the woman. But when all of the components, all of the people involved by God to work a great miracle, there's going to be a miracle that takes place. And so the first miracle is about obedience from both Elijah and the woman. The second miracle is a miracle that requires fervent intercessory prayer. So I want to give you a formula for miracles taking place in your life. You may want to write this down. Okay, here's the formula. There's no formula. There's just obedience to what God is telling you to do. There is obedience to what needs to be done. Okay? No, God didn't tell Elijah, okay, I want you to stretch out on the child. I want you to pray for him three times. There was just a fervent intercessory prayer that we read about in the book of James. So I'm turning over there so I can read this to you. In James chapter 5, and it says, verse number 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So there are going to be situations that you're going to say, God, I need you to move in this situation. So let me put it another way for you. The first miracle was a foundational miracle. It set the stage for the second miracle. The first miracle was not only foundation in that the second miracle built upon it. And you say, how do you see that? Well, if the woman and the son had not obeyed and there had not been the miracle of the multiplication of the flour and the oil and the water, then they would have died. There would have been no son that needed to be healed. So it was a foundational miracle. And this, you know, it was also a continual miracle. This went on for a prolonged period of time. It went on for months and months. It went on for years and years. So thank God for, you know, miraculous events. But could I raise your faith a little bit here on a Monday to believe God for a miraculous lifestyle? For his supernatural power not just being something we experience on occasion, but something that we live with day after day after day. So the first miracle was a miracle of supply. And believe me, God can do that. He can stretch things. He can, you know, feed multitudes with a few loaves and fishes. He can feed millions of people for 40 years with manna from heaven. He can cause a rock to follow, a mountain to follow the people of God as they're wandering in the wilderness so that there's water that flows from the rock. And the New Testament describes that the rock that was following them was Jesus. The second miracle was a miracle of resurrection. So you've got miracles that require obedience, and you've got miracles that require prayer. You've got foundational miracles that set the stage for subsequent miracles. You've got miracles that are continuing miracles. You've got miracles of supply, and you've got miracles of resurrection. Those are all wonderful things. You also have miracles that are confirmational, where it confirms that God is God. Now, I want to read to you about the second miracle, because you've got to make sure that you have the perspective right. In verse number 17, it says this: "Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, 'What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?' And he said to her, 'Give me your son.' So he took him out of her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. And then he cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow from with whom I lodge by killing her son?' And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him.' Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son lives.'" The woman thought that these miracles, that this first, or that the son's sickness was to remind her of her sin. Okay? Now, I encourage you, deal with your sin problem as early as possible, as frequently as needed, and then accept God's forgiveness. Accept the fact that you are walking with God, with the people of God, the supply of God, the miraculous provision of God. If God was wanting to destroy you, all he's got to do is withdraw his hand. There are so many people that think that God is constantly dealing with them in a punitive manner, misunderstanding that just because he deals with us in a corrective manner doesn't mean that he's dealing with us in a condemning manner. He corrects us. He disciplines us because he loves us. So there was this miracle resurrection that took place, and it was a miracle not about her sin. It was a miracle about her son. So, I've told you many times on the radio program, my brain just doesn't work necessarily the same way that everybody else has done. The woman saw that her son was sick and that he was dead, and Elijah brings back her son healed and said, "See, your son lives." We never hear about the name of the woman. We never hear the name of the son. But there must have been a serious reason, a serious purpose, that God loved that family to such an extent that he moved miraculously in these individuals' lives to make sure that they lived to fulfill the purpose that God had for them in their life. So, very early on, In fact, I looked at my Social Security statement that comes out once a year, and I was reviewing it here not too long ago, and I saw the amount of money that I had made when I started selling newspapers when I was 12. My first regular job I got hired for at 15, I realized that I wasn't willing to sacrifice my spiritual well-being by working Saturdays and Sundays, making $1.65 an hour, I think it was. And so that job didn't last. But at 16, then I got a job, and I worked. I've been pretty much working ever since then. There was a season in college where jobs were not abundant. It was a very difficult economy. But through everything that I've done, I've always had a job. I've done things that I wasn't called to do, but I could do because it was to make sure that my child had food and his parents had food. So during all of those years, during those reviews of my finances, I was like, look at that pitiful sum of money. And when I say that, I mean those were during times, some of those years was during times when people were making fortunes and we were just barely scraping by. And you say, well why are you telling us this? I want you to see that if the natural provision isn't there, God can still supernaturally provide. He can provide during a good economy. He can provide during a bad economy. Sometimes the provision has come. My dad said, you know, sometimes provision came in his life through the opportunity to work overtime. Sometimes it came from a hobby or a side job that he had, and he's always had something going on. He is very entrepreneurial in that he's not afraid to do things that he's never done before, and he's almost always made a little bit of money on top of that to supplement his lifestyle. God can provide for you when the economy is good, and God can provide for you when the economy is bad. Don't ever get to the place where you say, God doesn't care. Because the truth of the matter is, God does care. If I had been that woman, now, I don't know, maybe she had a very limited scope of understanding about what God was commanding her to do. When it said that I have commanded a widow there to provide for you, maybe she thought that was just going to be a one-time event. What she didn't realize that it was going to be something that was continual, and that provision meant that for her to fulfill the purpose God was asking of her, that he was going to be providing for her. And I'll put it this perspective for you. He was going to be providing more for her than she was providing for him. If she would provide food for one person, for one man of God, God says, I'm going to make sure that you and your son never starve. Both of you are going to be able to be taken care of. So let me just recap some of this, you know, This widow that Elijah was sent to, the first miracle, the miracle of the flour and the oil and the cakes that are made, that required obedience from both of them. The second miracle necessitated a fervent intercessory prayer, one that said, God, I need a miracle here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do whatever is necessary, and I'm believing that you're going to resurrect this child. You raise them up, and when you do, I'm going to say, look here, here's a miracle. Okay, so don't forget to pray. Your current miracle may be foundational for a subsequent miracle. Your miracle that you're experiencing right now may not be just an event. It may be setting you up for a lifestyle of the supernatural. God is working things in your life so that you know that you know that you know that you know that God is God, that He is good, and He is going to take care of you. Please understand that Jesus came to take care of the sin problem, and He came to work. He sent Elijah here in this situation to provide a miracle that would benefit the son, that there would be resurrection. I love the fact that God was seen in the Old Testament bringing life to things that were dead. In the New Testament, we see that He brings life to those things that are dead. In prophetic passages, we see that He's going to bring to life all those saints that have died in Christ. But I want you to know that He has not left us out of this bubble. You might have a dream that you're saying, man, I don't know if it's ever going to come to pass. I want you to know Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. Jesus, or the Father, sent Elijah to this woman, and it wasn't by accident. I don't know if he's the only, I don't know if she was the first widow. I don't know if she was the only widow that he asked, but I do know this: he found one woman that said yes to God's plan, and he said, your life is going to be so much better because you said yes to me. If you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I want to encourage you to do so today. You're going to find that God is not only your Savior, He's your Lord, He's your provider, and He's your coming King. Your life is so, it will be so much better with Jesus at the helm. I encourage you today. Set the stage for not just a miraculous event, but a continuing fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that He will take care of your sin problem, He will take care of your kid problems, and at the end of your age, at the end of your life, you'll be able to say, I know that I know that I know that God is real and God is good and He is my Savior. God bless you. You have a fantastic Monday. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.